Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helm and Dwight on Eagle FM. We're here until the hour of 6 every Monday to Friday. Every Monday to Friday. Sunday we are, you know, Sunday we go on a split where he has his own show on Sunday and I have mine where, you know, but the only difference is, he's too serious from Monday all through to Sunday, and I'm only serious Monday to Friday. Sunday, I don't do serious. Sunday, it's just all sarcasm from 11 to 1. But today is Wednesday. Today's Wednesday, and it's the 12th of November 2025. The year is coming to an end, and it's that time when we just look at whatever I accomplished this year. The only thing that I have changed in my, the only thing that I have changed in my life is this. Oh my God, next year I have to start working on this, and so that I'm, you know, see if I can see some improvement. Where did I fall? Where did I, you know, progress? Where didn't I progress? And what to do, as next year. But you don't have to wait for next year. That's just a calendar. Don't let a calendar dictate your modus operandi. It's a, is it Latin or Greek lovers? Modus operandi. That's Latin, right? But anyway. So the methods of operation, what to change, what to tweak here and there so that, you know, there is a progress where progress was not observed in 2025. But we still have, you don't have time. I mean, it's the 12th of November. No one is making plans or no one is executing plans in December, because December is just, you know, me congratulating myself on the little that I have accomplished the rest of the year. The more that I have not accomplished. Oh yeah. See you all in 2026. But, not here to give, life advice. Just here to give, not actually give any advice. But that, you know, I wish I had advice good enough to use myself, let alone share. Especially on everything, especially on anything life. So, we're here to talk about, artificial intelligence. And this is a topic that has been, that continues to dominate headlines because of the sheer volume of investment and basically interest and, the projected return on investment and the fact that it basically dominates, all spheres of our lives. We're talking communication, education, basically everything, because now today we're going to talk about artificial intelligence in terms of its in terms of its adoption into the legislative sphere. And this is based on the event that was held in Victoria City, Zimbabwe, back in May/June, because the event started in May and ended in June. And this is an interesting discussion that we're basically, this was held in Zimbabwe, right? Now, this is because what you are looking at here is, this was a regional discussion. By regional, I mean, SADC representatives, met in Zimbabwe, this year, back in May. And well, to June, they met from the 31st of May to the 7th of June, where they met to talk about the implementation or the integration of artificial intelligence in in parliamentary discussions. And this is one of those things that that must be, you know, implemented first of all individually by individual member states. And then come together to basically implement that on a block scale, aka the SADC block scale, which was all very nice, very nice, very nice. You have to understand we are talking about technology here, and that means, as in everything else, developmental wise, every developmental plans requires implementation. And part of the discussion that part of the discussion that lays the foundation of that implementation would be physical infrastructure. Ouch. But before you get to physical and physical or any types of physical or digital infrastructure, you are starting with the regulations. Everything starts with regulations. Because before you can't just start building stuff without first of all laying the, you know, the legal parameters that it's going to operate on, because then you have people playing cowboys with people's information. Now to make sure that people are not running around playing cowboy with people's information, especially classified information and personal information, you need a legal framework. So let's look at some of those things that was that made the agenda. Now, shall we? Now, if you may come with me to my very wonderful information that I'm so proud of me, compiled. So, what you are looking at, now, we want to adopt AI and I can barely open my own script. So what you're looking at here is artificial intelligence for legislative convenience. I also came up with that English. Again, you're welcome. And again, I'm so proud of me. So themed harnessing artificial intelligence for effective and efficient parliamentary processes in the SADC region, experiences challenges and opportunities. The SADC Parliamentary Forum, SADC South African Development Community. For those of you that have been living under a rock, the SADC Parliamentary Forum. They met for their 57th session, plenary session, which was held from 31 to the 7th of June 2025 in Victoria Falls City in Zimbabwe. These guys were just on vacation. Oh, come on. Who picked this spot? Victoria Falls? We see ya. We know what y'all are doing. Really? This is one of those reasons why I'm really planning on, if you see me in Parliament one day, just understand that I'm there because of this type of events. Because can you imagine being told that, you are going on a trip, say, fine. That's your secretary now talking to you. We're going on a trip, say, where's this trip? Zimbabwe, say. You have a SADC, parliamentary forum there. The 57th SADC Parliamentary Forum, you are going to talk about artificial intelligence and how you can implement it in everything legislative in the, in this regional block. Right. What's the venue? Victoria Falls seat. Even if I wanted to delegate that task to someone else, the moment I hear Victoria Falls, that flu that I was planning on having is gone. I'm hopping on that plane myself. Throw in SNT, and I have enough motivation to be in Parliament until I'm 100 years. I mean, I totally understand why some presidents, not to mention any names, wanna be president for, until Jesus comes. Because they're Parliament. I'm telling you, Victoria Falls. Because I know what I'm doing in between these discussion sessions. Driver, which direction is Victoria Falls again? Oh yeah, driver, let's go. But anyway, Namibia in that discussion contributed to key discussions of AI-driven legislative innovations and how it can contribute to democratic governance and policy making in the SADC region. Because now here's the thing: every student knows just how wonderful AI is. You know that. You want to come up with an idea on how to write a job application email, but you just don't know where to start. For some reason, when it comes to this thing, starting is very difficult. I come to realize that in life, starting something is not easy. But once you get the hang of it, once you are in the process, now once you get started and you are in the process of it, you begin to realize, it is not as tough as I thought. Now, make I tell you a very short story. Starting, not easy. At some point back in 2022, Yost Truly here was just on a stage doing what he does best, making people laugh. I mean, the crowd was just losing the crowd was just laughing their lungs out there by Brewer's Market, and I was having a good time. Those people had no idea how much their laughs and their cheering, Helmut, was basically ruining my ego. So, somewhere in the crowd was, one Ndonga man who happens to own a radio station, not mentioning any names, of course. I was like, okay, I bet I can, use some of that on my station. So next thing we know, we have Free Your Mind on Eagle FM. Now, one thing you people don't understand is the hassle John had to go through to convince Free Your Mind to come to Eagle FM. We gave every excuse under the sun. And I was like, okay, fine. Thank you very much for all the excuses. But so you didn't answer my question. Are you coming or not? Oh, okay. We're not coming. Why? Oh, well, we just gave you a bunch of excuses, but those are not reasonable enough. So if those are the only excuses you have, here's the studio. This is how you turn on the mic. Have a good time. Ouch. And the beginning was not a very good one. Terrible. Because I do reflect and I do go back to those, to that content. I'm like, I did not just say that. Boy, oh boy. And then, got in the hang of, repetition tends to, repetition has that tendency, because now I have been in this seat for since 2022. And now I just walk in normally, wake up without my blood pressure going through the roof. Have worried sick that, oh my God, I'm going to turn on the microphone again. Oh boy. Now, so starting, not easy. But once you get the hang of it, you're good to go. So the AI integration in legislative things, so basically everything parliamentary and governance, one of which is legislative drafting, aka passing your laws. And actually, that would come in very handy, because if there is one thing that we are very slow at doing as a country, heck, as a continent. I think it's just a politician thing. Passing laws, there are laws that have been sitting dormant for a very long time. So in this case, then it makes a lot of sense that, bringing in artificial intelligence to sort of like help navigate all this legal, legal hurdles that makes all the, passing of legislations very sluggish. That would be, throwing in, AI would be a brilliant idea. Look at it as a transition from, abacus, the traditional way, albeit that was, more Asian. The traditional way of counting, or more like, computing numbers, transitioning from the, using stones or stickmen, to calculator. That saved, people a lot of time, because these days you don't have to employ all types. It doesn't involve a lot of mental gymnastics for you to compute big numbers. All you just need is take your phone or take your tablet or take your computer. There's your calculator. You punch in the numbers and there's your answer. Technology makes life easy. Now we are at that stage where we are now, where we are transitioning in all aspects of our life. And by all, I mean all, because unfortunately, I wish this was a joke, but there are people that are working on robot wives. Jesus, guys, let's adopt technology, yes, but not in everything. Let's leave something, the way that Mother Nature, God, or evolution, depending on which one you subscribe to, intended it. Imagine being in a relationship with a robot. That's boring, Unless there's a mode where I have to tune it so that it can, every now and then accuse me of cheating, bring the drama in the relationship to keep the spark on. I know I'm going to regret that. But anyway. Oh, boy, do I know I'm going to regret that. Now, Zimbabwe now being a host of this, of this event, which is the 57th Plenary Assembly, SADC Parliamentary Forum, 57th Plenary Assembly. And it wouldn't be an African discourse if it did not have a theme. Therefore, in the in respect to African discourse tradition, they decided to give it a theme. Harnessing artificial intelligence, in brackets AI, for effective and efficient parliamentary processes in the SADC region. You think they are done? Oh no, they're not. Experiences, challenges, and opportunities. That's one heck of a theme. Now, Zimbabwe being a host country, highlighted its collaboration with the government, its collaboration with its government ministries to ensure seamless logistics and technological readiness for AI adoption. The country also called for a push for a regional cooperation in building AI expertise, which is very important. AI expertise, especially through education, training, and public-private partnership. Now, all these things. Now you have one heck of a list here in just one paragraph of four sentences. You have one heck of a list here, which can be all be looked at from a Namibian perspective. Now, one thing that was basically pointed out is the logistics that speaks mostly to the physical infrastructure. Technological readiness, because for you to start talking about the implementation of AI, of course you need the physical infrastructure, one of which is energy, but we'll leave that one for the end because that's a serious thorn in the eye of AI. AI has to do more about the computing capabilities of these new technological equipments that we're making, especially in the cybersecurity world, you know, in the computers world. So that's AI. Now, this information, to be computed, you need the physical infrastructure that is doing the computing. That is housing the computing capacity. That's where data centers comes in. Because you need to gather information and then processing this information to give out a certain output. You need an input, which is information gathering, and you are processing it and then to give out a certain output. Look at it in a very simple way, like you are doing your bills at the end of, at the end of the month, using your calculator. You have your calculator, but your calculator is not going to process something that is just not there. You have to punch in how much your rent is minus how much you're getting paid, and then you press equal for you to get your answer. So, you need a calculator for you to do that. Unless you're a math genius, then you can just do everything in your head. But most of us needs a calculator. So, picture these data centers more like the physical infrastructure that's needed as your calculator. You need that equipment. How many of us have the knowledge to make a calculator now? Nope. We have to buy one. And even if you have a calculator, you need to know how to use a calculator for you to get actually the desired result. If you don't know what to, if you don't know where to press, if you don't know where equal is located, you can have some serious problems. In the early days of computer literacy, there are people that kept telling the computer instructor that say, "I don't see P on my keyboard. I don't think there is a D on my keyboard." And the instructor is, "Oh yeah, it's there. It's because if it's your first time to look at a computer keyboard, you'll struggle to find where D is and where P is. But the more frequently you use a computer keyboard, the more everything becomes what's known as muscle memory. You know, your finger placement becomes better. And, for the most part, you don't even have to look at your keyboard for you to type a certain sentence. And, now, the thing is, if you are so terrible, if you are just seeing a computer for the first time, chances are very high you will struggle to find a space bar. And anyone that have used a computer knows that the biggest button you can find on a keyboard is a space bar. Now, if you don't know it, now, if you ask someone to use a computer and their first question is, where's the space bar? Oh boy, boy, oh boy. You know, you have a long way to go. A long way to go. Especially if you ask them to open the window and they stand up and open your room window. Lord have mercy on our souls. But now we are talking about something way more advanced, aka artificial intelligence. So the physical infrastructure is needed. And unfortunately for us, Africa is not very good at that. Forget SADC, forget Namibia, just Africa alone. We don't have a lot of that infrastructure. Because you have to gather this information and then feed it into your computing infrastructure to spew out the result that you want, which is useful for you to do whatever projection that you want to do, whether it's population-wise or economic growth or climate change impact on the environment, depending on the your country's region on the planet. All these things requires you to gather information, process that information, and then that's the result that gets out of that is what you are going to be producing receipts or reports on. Those reports are the ones that people like yours truly here rely on to make noise about. I love reports. Reports from the National Assembly, reports from the National Council, reports from the World Economic Forum, reports from the International Energy Agency, one of which we have today when we get to the point of this whole energy component. Now, the country, Zimbabwe in this case, called for a push for a regional cooperation in building AI expertise, especially through education, training, and public-private partnership. The call for a regional collabo in terms of AI development is a very good one. The fact that we are making a call now is making me go, so we don't have one. If we have one, it's moving as fast as a chameleon can move. And if you look at that list, they all spell one thing. Expertise through education, training, and public-private partnership. Namibia just had its first, like, formal private, NAMPPF, Namibia Public-Private Partnership. Is it public-private forum? Yeah, that. So, this whole thing has one common denominator. That whole list, whether you're looking at the physical infrastructure or the digital infrastructure, the expertise required to build everything from the ground up, which is basically where we are right now, requires a lot of investment. That's a fancy way of saying you better have one big check. Do you have the check? That's where, if you asked that question now during this session, everyone in that, conference hall would have gone, since they're all politicians, would have gone with, about that, can we just go and get our foreign direct investors? The question becomes, really? So the common denominator here becomes physical infrastructure, digital infrastructure, expertise. All these things requires significant amount of investment. And all that translates into simple language. Every time you hear someone saying that all this requires a significant size of, a significant size of investment. Translation, this is going to need a lot of money. I don't even know why they don't say that. This will require significant financial investment. No! Just say we're going to need a behind load of money to pull this through. That's where we are. We're going to take a short commercial break, pay the bills, come back on the other side, and we'll continue from there. Home Run with Helmed and Dwight on Eagle FM. You'll stay tuned. Not stay tuned, stay tuned.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original, or Vintook Lemon, let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vindhuk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vindhuk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vindhuk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Welcome back. The time is a minute past the hour of 5. If you just tuned in, this is Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. And I am here because he's somewhere gallivanting in the Ocheltonjuba region. That's Dwight. And he's not gallivanting, he's working. Before he comes back from there and punch me in the face. So let's continue with this discussion. Everything that is required here, something that one does not need to be basically an expert in any of these fields, whether it's AI or legislative or anything legislative, requires basically can easily pick up without any long thought or hard thought, is you need money. Lots of it. You need a lot of money. What were we talking about yesterday? Energy transition. What does that also need? A behind load of money. A lot of it. Back to Namibia. During the discussion, Namibia emphasized the importance of AI governance and digital security as the speaker, because one of the people in attendance was the Speaker of National Assembly, that's Sarah Kugongelo Amadila, who highlighted Namibia's commitment to a responsible AI adoption for finalizing AI-related legislation, including including a draft artificial intelligence bill, data protection bill, and cyber crime bill. Let's put a pause on that. And then we go to our, our AI readiness report that was launched also this year. Let's say, well, how ready are we when it comes to this whole AI discussion? How ready are we? Because, I mean, we participate, we attended this event in between May and June. And now in August, we launched our AI readiness assessment report, which is still my favorite, piece of literature. Coming out of Namibia 2025. I really want to jump to conclusion here because let's just leave the energy discussion for the end, because that's going to take up a large chunk of today's of the whole AI adoption on a SADC level discussion. Breaking something here, which is mine, not the studio thing, and it's not broken. Now, Namibia, back in August, we launched our AI readiness assessment report, and obviously it was covered by a whole lot of media houses. And the source I'm using here is UNESCO, because they are also, led to this report was done by NCRST and in collab with UNESCO. Namibia launches the AI readiness assessment report, highlighting progress, challenges, and strategies to harness AI for inclusive, sustainable development. Just understand that we are here now on this one. We are more talking about. We are more looking at it from a governance perspective. This thing starts with congratulations. That's one thing I like about these things. Namibia has taken a decisive step. You gotta love politicians because when it comes to English, and these guys are good. For some reasons, you'll find a politician who dropped out of school, but the English, English is on fire. Namibia has taken a decisive step toward shaping its digital future with the official launch of the country's first intelligence readiness assessment report. The event held a venue, blah, 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 but now, just skip all that nonsense and go straight to my favorite part. The report compiled by the National Commission on Research, Science and Technology, NCRST, and supported by UNESCO. Yeah, that's the collab I was talking about earlier. It's the first comprehensive evaluation of Namibia's capacity to adopt, develop, and govern artificial intelligence responsibly. Why does it focus more on responsibly? Well, because like everything else that has the potential to be good, man has a way of turning it into evil. Yep. You know, we invented knives so we can, as a tool to help us in our day-to-day lives. And then we started using them to kill each other. How do we hunt animals better so that we can survive? So we invented a bow and arrow, and then, from a bow and arrow, we trained archery to go hunting better. You know, we came up with spears. You know what else we used those equipments for? Kill each other. And then we upgraded to a gun, and we figured, it can shoot an animal faster. Well, guess what? It can also kill a human being faster. I swear, everything we develop for the betterment of society, we try to figure out, I wonder if we can turn this into a tool that we can use to kill each other. And for some reason, we're very creative at that. Very creative. Water. Water that Mother Nature provided so we can just use it to drink and farm and cook and all that so we can survive. You know what else we used to water for? Have you ever heard of the term waterboarding? Someone was just sitting there and wondering, I wonder what would happen if you take a wet towel, tie someone to a chair, and then tilt them about 40 degrees backwards. That's an awfully specific number. I'm not torturing anyone. I don't have a house, let alone a basement, so I'm good with that one. Tilt them about 40 degrees backwards, and then put a wet towel covering their mouth, and then you pour the water on that towel while it's covering their face. Give you this weird, very traumatizing feeling of drowning, but slowly. It's one of the most common torture methods. Anyone that have seen action movies must have seen this torture method being used from time to time. It's just water, man. We were supposed to drink it and then use it for cooking and use it for farming, but no. We also use it to inflict torture, to inflict pain on each other. Human beings, aye man. So, the responsible use of AI. If we are going to adopt AI, we first have to figure out, are we responsible enough to use it? Having kids and now they're all grown and you have to teach them how to drive so that you can trust them with your very fancy car. and there are tiny lives out there. First, well, assessment is you, obviously, as a responsible parent, you'll do your own assessment on your own before you take them to NATIS to do their final assessment of whether or not they are responsible enough to operate this machine in a public road full of also people that are who may or may not be deranged, who may or may not be drunk, who may or may not be tired, who may or may not be nuts, who may or may not be selfish. They're sharing the same road. So a responsible adoption here is then is key. Now, what does responsible adoption speaks to? Responsible adoption also speaks to legislations. Take for example that there is not a single car in Namibia. We want to adopt the mode of transport known as cars. The first thing we would do is figure out, once we adopt these machines, how are we going to use them to get from point A to point B responsibly without running something or someone over? Then you now have to sit and draft the legislations. You know what? This is going to be the speed limit in town. This is going to be the speed limit in the highway. This is going to be the side of the road that you'll be driving for outgoing traffic. This is the side of the road that will be used by incoming traffic. This is what you do before you turn. Of course, you indicate, unless you are driving a BMW. Then you indicate on one side and then turn on the other side. That's a very common stereotype amongst, BMW drivers. But anyway, the legislation that would have to look at all the legislations that regulate traffics in Namibia. From how you get your license and how you renew your licenses the legislations governing the tickets that you are given and how you settle those penalties. All these things are regulated by legislations. That legislations must be in place for you to adopt all this technology, aka cars. At this point, except we have cars ready, we want to adopt artificial intelligence for legislative use, not education. Albeit it's also being adopted in there. Students have already adopted that. And, lecturers, that's for sure. Now, this adoption must be done responsibly in a way that it's not misused. Take, for example, if you didn't have, going back to our car's example. If you didn't have any car in Namibia and you're planning on adopting, on bringing cars in Namibia, and you just go straight to building roads and then without any lanes, you just want a road that comes from here and it's going to Akahanja, no lanes, it's just a road. And then you say, all right, we're set now. Everyone, please buy a car. Can you imagine the chaos? First of all, everyone is just picking a side of, a side that they have to drive on. One of those countries that's basically criticized a lot. I'm not sure if it's a stereotype or it's true, because I've never been to Egypt. If you go to, in most parts of Asia, basically, if you go to YouTube and type in basically any social media platform and type in, driving in Egypt, oh my God, you are going to run into a lot of videos of people saying, I'm sorry. How am I supposed to know which side of the road is who driving on? It turns out, just figure out your destination and figure out how to get there. Which side of the road you're going to use, that's not on us. Are you getting there or not? And then you look at some parts, especially, some parts of central, some parts of central and east and also parts of West Africa. I was watching Top Gear the other time. And Richard Hammond, James May, and now I'm forgetting the king of them all. they're driving in some parts of Africa, and I'm looking at this bus that has clearly overloaded. I'm like, hang on a second. What's going on here?
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back. We continue. So, the Namibia's readiness assessment report was is part of a larger was part of a larger AI adoption or more AI adoption assessment by UNESCO member states. And in case you missed it, UNESCO, the first UN, the first UNE, that's United Nations Education, Science, and organization. But anyway, now this report, the readiness assessment methodology, aka REM, which was developed by to help member states align with the 2021 recommendation on ethics of AI adopted by 193 UNESCO member states, of which Namibia is one of them. Now, during that launch, of course, now at this point, during that that launch, one of the gentlemen that was that spoke at that event was the deputy minister of the deputy minister of education, aka the super ministry or MESAC, Dino Balotti. But he did say some very awesome things about the whole readiness and adaptation in terms of we are looking at what's our capacity and what are the challenges, where do we have to revamp, where do we have to pull up our socks, and where do we have everything adequate enough for this adoption. Some of my favorite points that were made at this event were made by Dr. Simeon Hamukoshi of NCRST, who noted to, before I point out that, let's go back to that, let's go back to the 57th plenary, the plenary session that took place in Zimbabwe now, our main source of reference for today. At that event, the standing committee report that reports on that event pointed out that Namibia also emphasized the importance of AI governance and digital security, and that's based on what the on what our speaker of the National Assembly made. AI adoption by finalizing Namibia's commitment to highlighting our speaker of the National Assembly highlighted Namibia's commitment to responsible AI adoption by finalizing, because then she goes on to list a bunch of pieces of legislation that had been in bill format ever since, was that before or shortly after Moses parted the Red Sea? I think this was before. Actually, no. These pieces of legislation have been in bill format since Pharaoh was still, persecuting the Israelites before they were rescued by Aaron and Moses and the whole Old Testament story of walking 300 kilometer distance for Is that a 300-kilometer distance for 40 years? Someone did the math and pointed out that, you know, for them to pull that off, this guy, maybe these guys were walking about 5 centimeters per day. I just thought it was funny. Now, the AI adoption in Namibia has to, has to start with the finalizing of AI related legislations, including a draft of artificial intelligence bill, data protection bill, and cybersecurity bill. Last time I checked, these legislations are all in bill format. That means they can't be enforced by any law. Because, after the deliberation by Parliament on any of, basically on all the bills is, after the Parliament have deliberated on all of them and they're passed to the President signs them, then they become enforceable by any law enforcement. Right now, every police officer will be like, I really want to help you, but, well, it's still a bill. There's nothing much I can do. Now, to convert that bill into a law is not in my power of scope. Take it back to Parliament to be debated on, and then the Parliament themselves will follow their parliamentary procedure and submit it to the President, and the President will go through it with the Attorney General, and then they can say, take it back for further deliberation, or the President signs it, or the Attorney General, Attorney General is a fancy title. It's a fancy way of saying government's legal advisor. Now, last time, or you can just go with Attorney General. I don't have power to exchange blows. So now the reason why I went back to that is because now we can come back to our UNESCO versus UNESCO and the NCRST report. One moment. Yeah, UNESCO versus NCRST report. On our, AI readiness. Like, we're just doing it. How ready are we to adopt artificial intelligence application on a large scale? Because we are talking about governance here. Now, here's what happens here now. In his presentation, points out Dr. Simeon Hamukoshi of NCRST noted that the report's finding highlights notable progress in Namibia's readiness to adopt and govern artificial intelligence, including improved connectivity, the integration of artificial intelligence ethics into university curricula, and a growing recognition of AI as a driver of economic growth. Excellent. These speeches usually starts with, congratulations, you did this and this and this and this, right? But every time you go through these reports and you start hearing, this accomplishment was done, but yeah, fasten your seatbelt, just keep going. There's a but somewhere. Now let's get to the but things. Accomplishments, you're going to go through them again? Okay, fine. NCRST noted that the report's finding highlights notable progress in Namibia's readiness to adopt and govern artificial intelligence, including improved connectivity, the integration of artificial intelligence ethics into university curricula, and a growing recognition of artificial intelligence as a driver of economic growth. In other words, nailed it. Now, instead of saying, but, the good doctor here picks a different word, which is however, which is very, it's synonymous with but. However, he cautioned that the challenges persist, such as the absence of a formal AI regulatory framework. You know how back in May and June, our speaker was pointing out the finalizing of the artificial intelligence bill, data protection bill, and cybersecurity bill back in May, June in Zimbabwe. Yeah. The good doctor here from NCRST is just pointing out that, well, whether we like it or not, if we want to adopt AI, we're going to have to fast track this whole regulatory framework. Let's get that out of the way. Then we can talk about adopting. Yeah. Let's start with however. However, he cautioned. Now, this is Simeon Hamkoshi, Dr. Simeon Hamkoshi of NCRST. However, that's him speaking. However, he cautioned that challenges persist, such as the absence of formal artificial intelligence regulatory framework. Translation, we don't have the laws to regulate the institution that we want to adopt. Thank you very much. But if you want to sound more diplomatic, you have to say, however, he cautioned. He gave a warning. I swear. It's a waste of English. But, I mean, if I was a doctor, I would also use the English, you know, I would also use this English. Because, well, being a doctor means you spend a lot of time looking at books and also in school. So, well, you acquired the English, you deserve it, so just, well, use it. The absence means we don't have them. The absence of a formal regulatory framework. The need to finalize the data protection bill, comma, limited electricity access in rural areas, gap in artificial intelligence related skills, and a shortage of AI training data in indigenous languages. Yeah. To train AI, that AI needs access to data. Otherwise, then, you'll have a Namibian run AI that's learning, you know, that's being trained using American society. In that way, then it will be giving you American solutions to Namibian problems. If you want your AI model, for example, to know how to help you solve Namibian problem, legislative, political, or economical, or social, you will have to train it based on Namibian information. If you don't have enough access to Namibian information, it will be very difficult for you to train any model on how to solve Namibian problems. That means a rural electrification is needed, and ensuring that a lot of people have access to digital, you know, to the digital world, because that's where you are gathering this information and processing them and then analyzing patterns. Now, this is true of everything, including weather patterns. If you want to solve, this is also true for, for SADC level. If you want to train an AI model, an AI language model, to solve SADC problems, you'll have to train it on SADC information. You'll have to give it access to SADC information. The problem is, if 90% of your population is in rural areas where there's no electricity and network, that means there's a lot of things happening there that could really help you in your legislative problem solving, except you don't have access to the information. Therefore, you don't know how to solve the problem yourself. That means any technological aid that you are going to employ will still need that information. You can get the best AI model, it will still need the information of what's going on in Hangwena, what's going on in Karas, what's going on in Comas, what's going on in Kunene, in order for that piece of software or that AI model to help you first, best sort out access to health problem, access to education problem, access to, your food insecurity problems. You'll need that. If you don't have access to the raw data, this now brings us back to the data interoperability, where you have, you need a massive data center. Several data centers that will enable different ministries and SOE to have access to each other's information at the click of a button. Except that data center information and its collab with AI will be the next part. Commercial break.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste. that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's five-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Lipura nengelo wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tite opoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijemo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM VI.
Welcome back, but before we continue, let's take a live read. Man, I need a bigger table. This is a Vilvicia 2026 applications live read. 2026 applications and now open. New programs, Faculty of Health Science, Master of Master of Public Health Level 9, Mode of Delivery, Distance, Areas of Specialization, Maternity, Child Health, Public Health, Nutrition, Mental Health and Well-being, Food Safety Management Systems, Sustainable Solid Waste Management, Innovative approaches in pharmaceutical public health, drug regulations, child protection and adolescent health, violence prevention and intervention. Application fee is $230. Application deadline is 30 November 2025. For more information, please call 061-225-463. Or 061-225-462, Vilvicha University, where everyone is an achiever. Now, back to our AI discussion. You need to gather raw information. Now, for you to gather this information, unless you want to go the traditional way of knocking from door to door and interviewing people, the best way to gather information these days is through what? Technology. This is where your smartphones comes in. Now, this is now where regulation now is very important, because gathering information and processing it and then using it for a specific purpose, especially for governing, is very important. But then without the right regulations in place, that leaves a lot of room for the misuse of that information. Now, one of the most common misuse of information that's found in the digital world, of which a lot of companies, including yours truly, Meta, Facebook is not notorious for that, for secretly gathering information and then selling it to different companies for targeted advertising. Now, that's one of those main reasons why you can't adopt these without having the right legislations in place. And then that brings us to one of the most painful question: access to information. As you and I sit here right now, Google has access to your information. They don't have to listen. I mean, they don't have to go through the Namibian government laws for them to have access to your information. They can just get it. For one, you are using their physical infrastructure, aka your smartphone. Well, Samsung owns it. You own the physical one, but the software that works in collab with your, with the hardware that you spend a lot of money on. They are owned by someone halfway through, someone halfway across the planet. That means your information and my information is somewhere in a data center in Silicon Valley. Now, they can just get that information. They can collect this information whenever they want. Now, take for example, if the Namibian government decided that, you know what, we need our people's information, and they went to Facebook, they, you know, they went to Meta, they went to Google, they went to Amazon, and all these giant platforms, and asked for Namibian information back. Do you have any idea the legal, hoops they will have to jump through to have the conversation, let alone get the data? Gathering the information. At this point, you don't have to be told that information, again, is the most prized commodity. Very, 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 very important. Really important. And you have some of us that are just, you know, giving that information for free. How much of this information do you actually need? For that, to understand that, you have to ask yourself one question. How much of this information are you giving out? Every time you take, for example, you just take one picture. Every content that you take, or more like every picture you take, or every video you take, every picture is coming with what's known as metadata. Because unless you have enabled a bunch of these settings, every picture you take is coming with the date, time, and seconds, and location, and device, and the device that this picture was taken on. Just to give you an example of just how much information that you're giving up out there, I'm one of those people that likes to take pictures wherever I can. I have one of my picture in my phone. Let's just see how much information it has here. Okay, first of all, it's having all the types of all the types of resolution that the picture, you know, the frame rates that the picture was taken in, and now you have the type of a phone and model that the picture that took the picture. Date, time, and straight to the milliseconds. Month, year that this picture was taken. All that information is part of one picture. Now, how much pictures do you have in your phone? Forget the videos. How many pictures do you have in your phone? And how much information similar to this plus more that you have? You just take all that, you take this picture, every time you take a picture and upload it on a platform, you're uploading all this information along with that picture. Now they have metadata removal softwares. But, well, guess what? If you have a metadata removal software, that software is removing all this information from this picture before you put it on Facebook or Instagram, for example. They are removing it from the picture. Where are they taking it? Yeah, they are removing it from that. Are you sure they are not keeping it themselves and then turning around and then selling them to Facebook? Because at this point, then what's the point? So, legislations are needed. Like, legislations are the foundation for adoption of everything, including AI, especially if the plan is to use it on a large scale. And by large scale, I mean governance. Because if you're going to use artificial intelligence to make laws, you have first have to make sure that you have laws that are regulating that use. Isn't that somewhat ironic? First of all, you have to make laws that are regulating the use of artificial intelligence so that you can use artificial intelligence to make laws faster. That's actually where we are. That's what this whole conference was about, basically. We need to pass laws faster. Laws that will enable us to adopt artificial intelligence so that we can use artificial intelligence to make laws faster. Ouch. That's interesting. So, skills is one of those things that, you know, skills is one of those things that was pointed out by Dr. Hamkoshi. Because the list of what is needed in Namibia, for example, according to our AI adoption readiness assessment was that, they need to finalize the data protection bill. That's one, because you need to training AI. If you're going to use AI, you'll need access to a lot of data. Now you need a very, you'll need a specific way. You need to lay out specific way in which this information will be gathered and how it will be stored and how it will be accessed and how it will be disposed. You need to get all this in place. We are still trying to get it in place. Don't worry, we're gonna get there. Baby steps. So the data protection bill must be in place. It must be, when a data protection bill becomes a data protection act, then we are close. Limited electricity access in rural areas. If you have limited electricity access, you have less access to information that you need to train your AI, in a way that it will make your legislative work easy. This is the thing here is, want to make sure that we have laws in place so we don't end up with the 2013 Edward Snowden fiasco. Because Edward Snowden, other than the Edward Snowden scandal, that one came out because the U.S. lacked laws to regulate information gathering. It's just that, the government passed laws and then went around and broke those laws by collecting information that they were not supposed to legally collect. That was global, by the way, not just local. So we need to make sure that the data protection bill becomes a data protection act. Then we're close. And then we look at electricity access, universal electricity access. We need to provide electricity. We need to electrify as much of the country as possible. This is why we are concluding with electricity, because if you saw the e-villager today, one of the article in there is how much the government green schemes are going. Ash, this electricity prices, yo, ash. The dang is buy are expensive. But one of the requirements that will enable us to adopt that is universal electricity access. And before we get to the electricity access, let's start with AI-related skills. AI-related skills. AI-related skills. Now, skipping that, the last point that the good doctor makes is that the shortage of AI training data in indigenous languages. We love English. Alice Dideng, the Afrikaans setup. That's not an insult, right? Because I'm really not in the mood of getting fired. But everything is either in English or Afrikaans. Afrikaans is a local language. It's commonly spoken. There are large demography of Namibia and South Africa that speaks Afrikaans. And both Namibia and South Africa are members of SADC. So to gather this information, you need to train these models on native language. Except, language is one big problem we have, which is, first of all, a lot of our names are in English. Not complaining, I'm just saying. And then you have people that have both the Christian name and surname, they are both in English, but they've never been to England. Not judging. Who am I kidding? I'm judging. Seriously. Now, moving on. But the most important part that I'm going to wrap up with is electricity. The cost of electricity. For that, we're going to start with the villager, then we come back to this report, and then we conclude, because we only have 15 minutes, 16 minutes.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vinduk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vinduk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vinduk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. So, let's wrap this up, shall we? So, on the energy component, that is one of those main stumbling blocks in this discussion of this whole AI adoption, because you need to train this. You need to train any AI language model that you are going to adopt or make on as much local knowledge as possible. For the AI model that you are going to adopt or make to have access to all this data that is required for you to train them on this local knowledge, you need as much of your country or region electrified as possible, because you'll need a large amount of this information for you to train all these language models. And now you have a problem. Electricity itself is already expensive in Namibia. It is what? Did I mention expensive? Yeah, it is. It's expensive. And I know it's very easy to, blame NamPower, maybe to some degree, and the electricity control board. But you have to understand that we import most of our power. Zambia, South Africa, a little bit of Zimbabwe, I think. We're importing, most of our power. It's regional, so that's not much of a big deal. But you have to understand for this power to get to us, it gets to us via a physical infrastructure. A bunch of cables and poles are basically bringing this power. Those bunch of cables and poles needs maintenance. And you need experts to do the maintaining. The experts need money. The cables need money. The poles need money. The infrastructure itself, in a nutshell, needs maintenance. So that factors into the cost. The shareholders of these companies need to make money. So throw the cost in there. And you are importing it, so it's in a foreign currency denomination. Throw a cost in there. Ouch. Now, for those of you that are very wonderful Eagle FM listeners, and you are not scared to subscribe to the e-villager, which you can do by sending your phone number and the email address to 08120041440, 08120041440, for the e-villager subscription. It's it's like a newspaper, but it's technology because it's on your phone. So, for those of you that are subscribers already, then you must have seen that in today's paper, there was an article about how the pain that farmers are feeling when it comes to the cost of electricity that they basically have to work with. It's eye watering. Now, On the third page of today's The E-Villager, electricity cost green schemes 34.9 million in the past 12 months. 34.9 million in the last 12 months. According to that wonderful article written by yours truly, Anacleta, high electricity tariff and frequent power outages are placing financial pressure on green schemes in both Kavango East and Kavango West region. According to Sekondo Green Scheme farm manager Maxwell Ngidinwa, of this, 12.6 million went to demand charges, with farms paying between 260,000 and 1.1 million per month. It's no secret that the cost of electricity is high. Why? Because one of the reasons is we are importing most of it. So, why are you talking about this? Oh, easy. It's because artificial intelligence means data centers. Because if you are gathering this data, you must store and you must process and store it somewhere. That's where data centers comes in. Well, that makes artificial intelligence like the Land Cruiser of the technology world when it comes to power consumption. Which is one of the elephant, one of the elephant in the room. What? Because I'm on page 37. Yeah, one of the elephants in the room one of the elephants in the room in this whole AI adoption discussion. It's not actually the elephant in the room. That's the wrong description of it, because it was pointed out in the Namibia's AI readiness assessment report. Electricity is needed. The price is already high. Now, if you were to electrify everyone, the consumption would go up. And you want to guess what would translate into? What that would translate into? The prices. So just how much electricity do you need? Not want. Need. For this whole Land Cruiser of the digital world. Energy, now, according to the 2025 Energy and AI report by the International Energy Agency, the power components, according to the International Energy Agency's Energy and AI 2025 report, data centers consumed around 1.5% of global electricity consumption in 2024. What does that mean? Oh, well, out of the kindness of their heart, thank heavens to Fatih Birol, who is their executive director, they just go ahead to break that down for those of us that don't understand, well, numbers like 1.5% of global electricity consumption in 2024. That's according to the report. AI is also energy intensive. Globally, data centers consumed around 1.5% of electricity consumption in 2024. AI is only one of the range of workloads that data centers perform. Yeah. But in anticipation of growing demand for AI-related services, investment in data centers is growing rapidly. You know what that means? If data centers are energy-guzzling machines and you are building more of them, that means you are going to need even more electricity to run more of them. And back to the report. And the size of the largest data center is increasing. In terms of power draw, a conventional data center may be around 10 to 25 megawatts in size. A hyperscale AI-focused data center can have the capacity of more than 100 megawatts or more. Now, the whole hyper AI, look at it as your Nokia 3310, or AKA, look at the power consumption between your Katochi and your smartphone. That's basically what you're looking at. Because the traditional, more like just normal data processing type of information, you know, type of data centers or type of AI data centers, more like non-AI data centers, are of course using less power. But those ones that have that are incorporating AI, which of which the number is skyrocketing by the day, they are consuming a lot of information. So 100 megawatts, what does that mean? Huh? Well, then they go on to explain that, let's just start from the, and then finish the whole thing so that I don't leave, you know, people in the dark. A household, a hyperscale AI-focused data center can have the capacity of, megawatts or more, consuming as much electricity annually as 100,000 households. That's the size of a small town. Make I repeat that. A hyperscale, not hyperscale data centers, no? A hyperscale data center, that means one. A hyperscale data center, that means one hyperscale AI-focused data center can have the capacity of 100 megawatts or more, consuming as much electricity per year as 100,000 households, not 100,000 people, 100,000 homes, basically. That's a small town. Now, that means if you have 10 data centers of that size, that's equal to having 10 small towns worth of electricity that you are going to be consuming per year. That means you must produce a whole lot of it. If you ask me, sorting out that, because now, imagine living in a country where farmers are complaining about the price, the cost of electricity. Forget farmers. Regular household users like you and me are already complaining about the price of electricity because, well, holy cow, the prices are going through the roof. And, NamPower is like, well, electricity control board, sort it out. Electricity control board is like, look, it's not up to us. The price of everything that is required into us doing our job is increasing. We don't really have a choice here. We really want help. And you guys are forgetting that the person that works for the electricity control board also pays electricity. So they are just in as much pain as you are. So, my question is, where the heck are we gonna get this electricity? Now, you have to understand, these are not shortfalls per se. These are challenges that are in the way between us and implementing AI on a level where it's helping with legislative problems. One, skills. Two, physical infrastructure. That's a significant investment enough. That on its own, skills on its own, needs a lot of money, a lot of investment. Physical infrastructure, oh my God. And then digital infrastructure, again, oh my God. And then operating, even more, oh my God. The amount of money that you need. Round off with the report. AI-focused data centers are increasing in size. Oh, boy. Oh, these things keeps getting worse. We are shifting from traditional data centers to ones that have AI incorporated in. And those ones, the traditional data centers are very stingy on it. They don't consume much electricity. But the AI-focused one, since we are talking about AI adoption, then, well, what's the point of adopting the non-AI one? Of course, we are looking into adopting the AI one. So those ones consume more energy than the non-AI one. And then, not just that, they are also increasing in size. You know what that means? They are about to consume even more energy. Let's take a break. Let's take a break. And then we sign out on the other side. We didn't think this through, did we? But look, you have to understand, we have to adopt this at some point. It's a good thing to basically go through some of the hurdles and the size of these hurdles that we have to overcome for us to basically get to the implementation aspect of these things. Ouch.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana unongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special angetashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka okone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge Pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile ko berewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu matatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
All right, so how did these things end? What was the congruation? I learned that somewhere. Turns out that's the Namibian pronunciation of the word conclusion. What was the congruation? To reach to congruation, to adopt AI, you have to understand this was a regional discussion on a static level. But every country, obviously, as you can imagine, their standing committee compiled their own report. And then they provided certain recommendations, conclusion and then recommendations. Now, the conclusion is a very simple one. We have a long way to go. Full stop. Recommendation, we have a long way to go, but in a more of like a longer version. Joint report, this is the National Assembly and National Council report that was done here, that was provided from that 57th plenary session on this whole adoption by the SADC region on a parliamentary level for legislative purposes, the adoption of AI, the adoption and use of AI. From the get-go, the very obvious way pointed out, we need the skills. We need the physical infrastructure. We need the digital infrastructure. We need people who will build stuff, not chop money and run away. See your life. A joint report of the Southern African Development Community, SADC, plenary assembly session, 31 May to the 7th of June 2025, Victoria Falls, Zimbabwe. And then you just skip everything that we basically covered already because we are just reaching conclusion. And then we just go through one of the few of the conclusions and recommendations. Oh boy. The 57th plenary assembly session concluded that AI is no longer optional, but an integral and fundamental driver of progress and development in the SADC region. Oh, no one is arguing with that. Delegates stressed the importance of proactive legislation, investment in AI research and capacity building in order to ensure that AI benefits all citizens with mitigating the risks like stealing information and selling it to independent third parties for targeted advertising types of risks. That types of risks. Now, let me just draw you a picture. Have you ever heard of Cambridge Analytica, that scandal that shocked the UK politics, American politics, and Facebook, because Facebook was caught in a storm of having, you know, stealing information from its users and then selling it to politicians so they can use it in political campaigns? That's exactly what you'd be having if you adopt AI and start gathering information without having the right regulation in place. You'll have a bunch of political parties and independent candidates to buying that information so they can have an upper hand in having the furthest reach, so they can push their ideas, more like their manifesto, further so they can be voted. Those are the risks they're basically talking about. Just take your phone and look up Cambridge Analytica. And you're welcome. Enjoy. The plenary, aka the discussion, by Victoria Falls in Zimbabwe, implored the need for a unified digital strategy to harness, to use artificial intelligence for economic growth, governance, and inclusivity. Well, okay. The assembly session also concluded by adopting a communique, a report, basically, which highlighted the important issues discussed and the resolution which were taken. It recommended that members and staff of Parliament study the communique for more information about the 57th plenary session and its theme. I wouldn't recommend that. I mean, it's a theme. You need a lot of electricity, a whole lot of it. You need a lot of skills, a whole lot of it. You need a lot of physical infrastructure, a whole lot of it. You need a whole lot of electricity on two fronts. One, to electrify everyone, so you have a further reach in terms of terms of data gathering, and you need a lot of electricity to run data centers that are processing this information and giving you the output that you need in terms of information that is useful in your legislative day-to-day decision making. So, bottom line, you need a lot of electricity to electrify as much people as possible and to run as much data centers as possible for you to process as much of information that you are gathering from as much people as possible, to get as much information as possible for you to be as efficient and as transparent as possible in terms of decision making on a legislative level. At this point, I mean, if I was in Parliament, I would say, guys, this is a lot of money. Let's just stick to 1+1, Casio calculator, because clearly this is urgent. That's a lot of money. But hey, we have to adopt it. Catching up with the Joneses. So the Parliament of Namibia should establish, now that one is specifically tailored. The rest are specifically tailored, but I can't go through them all. The Parliament of Namibia should establish legal and adopt enabling governance frameworks to proactively legislate for AI and invest in digital infrastructure. Well, here's the thing. We have pieces of legislation that have, your access to information bill, which one is that one again? Hang on, un momento, si vous plaît. And time is running fast. Your access to information bill, here we are. Here we go. Why am I lost in something I wrote? What have I not said? You have the Artificial Intelligence Bill, Data Protection Bill, Cyber Crime Bill. Especially the Data Protection Bill. That. And of course, the Artificial Intelligence Bill. I mean, you can't have it Artificial Intelligence without Artificial Intelligence Bill. Like, seriously. That's like having, roads and cars running around without having regulations that are regulating, that the police officers that have to punish offenders, have to rely on. So, the Parliament will ensure a robust, robust legal and institutional foundation for the implementation of AI. That's according to the, that's not me, but that brings us to the end of today's discussion. Until more. You all have a blessed evening.